joined us today to talk a little bit about that. And of course, just hoop in general, 12-year NBA veteran, the pride of Iowa. Actually, was born and raised here in Las Vegas in another first-round pick. We just add the first-round picks onto the program, coming on all the time. Marcus Banks yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, today, the 21st overall pick?
Yep, 21st.
That's it. We're talking about Ricky Davis in the house. What's going on, my man?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Man, glad to have you here, man.
For sure.
Always good to talk hoop. It doesn't matter 24/7 here, you know? So you were born in Las Vegas.
Yes,
a lot of people may not realize that, and you moved away at a young age.
Uh-huh.
So tell us how all that transpired. And if you would have stayed in Vegas, what high school do you think you might have went to?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure because we were moving around so much.
Mm-hmm.
Probably North Vegas, you know, from North Vegas. So,
right.
You know, definitely – left at an early age, at 8 years old, moved to Chicago. So, you know, get back a lot and love the city.
All right. And we know you went to Iowa, and actually you went to high school in Davenport, right?
Yeah, went to high school at Davenport, Iowa.
Right.
Yep.
So how was that experience?
It was good. It was good. It was great getting out the city of Chicago. Yeah. You know, Chicago's so rough. So it was good moving out the city and being able to focus on what I like to do.
So in Chicago, you're a South Side guy?
Yes, sir.
So don't say you like the White Sox.
I love them all. I love the Cubs and the White Sox.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The Cubs were so bad for a while, you had to wrap on to some.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as you know, most Southsiders, man, Cubs the evil word. If you're on the north side, you know, Sox is the evil word.
That's it, exactly.
You know how that
exactly.
goes, but that's
the territory.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So, did you ever have a desire to play for the Bulls?
I did. Yeah. I would have loved to play for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up and watching Mike all the time, that's just something I know is the Chicago Bulls. So,
yeah.
Never got a chance to, but it would have been great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. One of our regulars who's on the program as well is former Bull Bill Cartwright.
Okay.
He's with us all the time
too.
He's always giving Nick a bad time,
Bill,
too.
Huh?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah.
But so anyway, Nick, I know you've got a very interesting question that you want to ask Ricky, huh? And I'm sure that it has nothing to do with actual basketball, right?
No. During the break, I asked Ricky Davis, former NBA player, what it's like to travel, and I said, this not be your lifestyle, mm-hmm. but what city is known for their crazy groupies, or what is, you know, a city just like you instantly think of really bad groupies action? And you said?
Los Angeles, Miami. Two great cities.
And anything, obviously, you don't have to rat yourself out. You can plead the fifth. But any teammates that you could PG story it?
No story. I plead the fifth.
All right.
But no, it's some great stories and great times just being in those cities.
We'll save that for off the air.
Yes, sir.
What is your take when you hear about a lot of players, whether it's NBA or NFL or whatever, and you know, Matt Barnes got himself in some trouble, and DeMarcus Cousins went back to New York and the clubs, and we hear about this all the time, these off-the-court incidents, and a lot of them are correlated to the late-night parties and going to the clubs when they get to these cities, because let's face it, I know that, hey, there's a big difference when you're going to Milwaukee or you're going to Miami or L.A. and, like I said, circle it on the calendar.
Yeah.
So when you know, obviously you have to be, you know, you got to, you know, be respectful and all this other kind of stuff and to stay out of harm's ways, but mm-hmm. it's not always easy for a lot of guys.
It's not, you know, especially with the fans that you carry, mm-hmm. and you know, people have a few drinks and they think they're respectful, but they're yelling and going right. crazy, and it's tough for guys to have a good time and be able to go out and enjoy themselves, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, you got a target on your back, so you got to be careful what you do and be careful who you hang around and where you're at.
You joined the league in 98, right?
Yeah.
You were drafted in 98.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to see a time where we went from cameras, cell phones, not even really people carrying cell phones too much, but
mm-hmm.
the cameras on the phone. There was no cameras really on a phone. There was
right.
no really social media back then.
Exactly.
So you've seen the change.
I've seen the change.
Can you maybe describe NBA prior to social media to how it is now?
It's different. You know, readily available action with Instagram and these guys got a streamline of fans. You know, it's a great thing for, if you use it the right way, it's a great thing for the young guys to have fans readily available, you know, to build their brand and build what they got going on. But back in the day, we didn't have none of that. You know, we still walking around with the case phones and no cameras, and you know, it was like no kissing and telling, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kinda everything was kept secret, and
there are pros and cons to all of it. Like you said, it was harder for maybe a guy to get his brand out there,
exactly.
But at the same time, it was a lot easier for him to keep his maybe his groupies undercover and that type of thing.
His business down out the street, so.
And everybody has some aliases too.
There's some pros and cons to it. Yeah.
Ricky Davis joined us, 12-year NBA veteran, first-round pick. You played for a lot of teams. You had two stints with Miami. You got drafted by Charlotte, Cleveland, Boston, Clippers, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I missed anybody there.
No, that's it.
Exactly. How was that for you, knowing that, I mean, I know you didn't plan it this way, but you really weren't in a city for more than 2 years, and always having to pack up and move and just not being able to stay with one team. How difficult was that for you?
It was tough, but, you know, it's the nature of the business. Yeah. You know, just going out and just being ready to be moved at any time. You know, and it keeps you motivated, not to get bored. And, you know, where you go, you got to fight for your spot, and you got to fight to feed your family. So it's just a matter of being ready, and when you get traded, you got to take somebody's spot. So it's fun, and it could be tiring at some instances, leaving your family for a long period of time. So
you actually got traded with, I used to coach high school basketball back in Sacramento, and with one of my former players you actually traded with, Yogi Stewart.
Michael, Yogi.
So you know Yogi.
Oh, yeah.
You got a Yogi story for me?
So I can blackmail him
a little bit?
Man. No, I got some good guys. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah, I love Yogi.
Yeah.
He's one of my older guys that kept me calm, and you know, because I had a little temper. So, you know, Yogi was always that guy that kept you calm and kept you focused.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny because he was always a calm guy. But mm-hmm. Like when he was in high school and stuff like that, he was always the reserved, quiet guy. And he was the guy that always kind of got picked on himself.
He was the one.
So yeah. Had these big old glasses and he used to play. And one time his glasses fell off. And I said, wow. Get a strap and keep those things on.
Okay, coach.
Oh, Yogi.
Yeah. We love him.
But yeah, when I remember that when he got traded, and you were part of that trade,
right?
And I was like, man, I remember Ricky Davis was part of that. So
yes,
anyway, so for my own, you know, I had to throw that in there for you as well.
So you knew about it.
Yeah. That's funny. You were part of some blockbuster trades, actually, weren't you?
I was in some big trades. Yeah. You know, down with the Eddie Jones trade to Miami, and me for Wally. It was big trades.
Right.
Wally's
some
good trades.
Yeah.
Some great trades.
You had two stints in Miami playing for Pat Riley. Talk a little bit about that, because I know later Pat actually admitted that he shouldn't have traded you.
Uh-huh.
I guess that was the first time, right?
Yeah, that was the first time.
So talk about playing for him.
It was amazing. You know, Pat taught you a lot of stuff, you know, on the court, off the court. He showed you what it takes to be a leader. You know, he's one of my best coaches to ever play for. So it's just amazing playing for him and learning every defense in the book. And, you know, now it kind of, you still have that voice in your head and help you teach it with the young guys these days. So it was amazing.
Do you buy into the fact that it's tougher to play for older guys like Pat Riley and Phil Jackson? We saw Phil have his problems in New York and that sort of thing. And I hate to say this, but, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, the game's maybe passed those guys by. What's your take on that?
Well, those veteran guys, I think the veteran coach is just looking for veteran players. You know, guys that know how to play and guys that know what to do on the court. You know, but nowadays it's tough when you got a lot of young guys that doesn't know the game, and the game has changed so much, changed drastically. So, you know, you got a lot of different players, and the older guys can't use those same schemes they use with the older guys now. A lot of guys are more athletic and can do a lot of different things.
What part of the game do you like maybe more and least right now compared to when you played?
Well, I kind of like it for an offensive guy that you can't touch anyone. You know, I think I would average 60 points if I can just go out there and just draw fouls so much and get to the line 20 times a night. You know, but at the same time, it's kind of made it watered down and kind of made it a little soft. And, you know, a lot of jump shooting out there, you know, and the league is a little watered down, you know, with the teams, you know, the great teams, number of teams, 8-9 teams, and then you have these 20 teams that's not too good. So it's kind of watered down because it's not competitive.
Mm-hmm. You feel the NBA is maybe not in as good a place as it was, say, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Financially, they're in a great place.
That's true. Financially, exactly.
It's growing. It's growing, but it's changing drastically. Like I said, I think the reason why it's watering down a lot, you got four great players on one team, and that could actually be three or four teams in the league that could be competitive like it was in the day, back in the day. So,
are you one of these Warrior haters?
No, no. I love it. I love it.
Are they great
I
to watch,
it.
Though?
I love KD's decision, and he, you know, he wanted to play a style of basketball, and that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ricky Davis joined us. Ricky, I remember, too, I want to jog your memory here, that you were in the slam dunk contest, and you were probably in one of the most entertaining slam dunk contests. And actually, I'm going to say it, you probably agree with me, you probably should have won the slam dunk contest, but you went against a guy named Vince Carter, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that experience, because let's face it, the slam dunk back in 2000, in those days, totally different it's now. Totally you talk different. About watered down. I can't watch it anymore.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. And it was just amazing just going with Vince. You know, I actually wish I would have went before Vince.
Right.
You know, when I went up, they was still cheering for Vince and watching his replays when you did your dunk. But it was just amazing just to be a part of that dunk contest and see the amazing things that he did.
So when you were preparing for the dunk contest, did you have a game plan formulated? Were you practicing certain dunks? And did you know, like, okay, I'm saving this one for maybe number four, number five, or second round?
Yes.
Talk a little bit. Because some of these guys look like they don't have a clue what to do.
Yeah, some of the guys don't have a clue. I think some of the guys got so many dunks. It's just they just trying stuff. So, but yeah, back in the day, we had a pattern. You know, I'm going to do this first dunk, second dunk, third dunk, and save some of them for last. Mm-hmm. But when Vince went, I think we brought our best dunks out. And he was just amazing. He kept coming with different dunks, and it was amazing.
What was your go-to dunk, man?
My go-through was probably through the legs. Yeah. Through the legs backwards, through the legs frontwards, either one.
All right.
Still got that only person in the game for that through the legs thing. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember Ricky Davis joined us. All right. You're part of the Big Three. It's coming to its culmination, so to speak, Saturday afternoon here at the MGM Grand. Give us your take, and how did you get involved in this? I know they had the draft. We talked a little bit with Marcus Banks about this yesterday. I wanted to hear your take and your experience.
It was just amazing. Just for Ice Cube to actually put this league on, somebody that you grow up listening to, watching, and just being someone of that stature, putting on something for basketball, it was just amazing. So when they asked me to do it, I was like, is this a trick question or what? Of course. So in seeing the draft and seeing the momentum that he picked up with it, he put his neck on the line for us, to be able to put this on and be able to showcase older legends and older people, and for kids to be able to get in for a price to see those type of caliber of players, I think it's amazing.
What do you think about the future of the Big Three?
I think it's a great future. I think it's going to keep growing and growing. More players, more older players are going to want to be playing in it. And, after you're done playing, you sit at home for one year, but after that, you're like, I'm so bored. So I think the Big Three would be great transition for some of the retired guys.
It's something that everybody can relate to, because even if you weren't a basketball player, everybody played 3-on-3.
Yeah, everyone,
you know what I'm saying?
Everyone.
Playground, high school, yard, in your driveway, whatever it was.
Exactly.
And, again, the 4-point shot, that's kind of cool in this and that, but everything else kind of stayed, the same. It's universal. So are you happy with the format, the way they do with the scoring, first one to 25, halftime, winner to 50, that sort of thing? What are your thoughts?
I think it's great. Like you said, growing up playing 3-on-3, 2-on-2 all day, I think it's just a great format. Guys beating each other up like the park. You shoot air balls, you take it back up. It's just, the rules are just something we grew up doing. Yeah. So some of us kind of adapted to it real well because we know it so well.
Who's on your team? The Ghost Ballers?
Me, Mike Bibby, Marcus Banks, Joe Smith, and Ivan Johnson.
And how did the names come about? Did everybody get to pick their own team names?
I think Cube had the team names already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Cube. And you were just assigned to that team.
And we were just assigned to it, yeah. He signed co-captains and captains. And
that's a cool name, though.
You got a good
Ghost Baller.
Yeah. Out of all the team names, I thought Ghost Ballers was sick.
I appreciate it. It's nice.
That's it.
Yeah, I love it.
So, break an ankle, I'm Ghost.
Yeah, I'm gone.
It's basically a bigger version of White Man Can't Jump, right?
Almost, yeah. Except for it's indoor.
Exactly, exactly. Of course.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's just amazing. People playing on the game and with the stakes on the game, what guys can actually win the revenue percentage back on what place you place. So you're actually out there playing for something like back in the day.
You guys, this is the 10th week. You guys played in all major NBA arenas. I know the opening week, I watched that in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. You had, 17,000, 18,000? Yes. Any of these crowds kind of surprising you, or which venue really kind of resonated with you the most?
Well, New York. It was just so packed in there. Mm-hmm. Everywhere has been sold out. Like I said, just coming in there and just feeling that atmosphere is just amazing. So my little ones get to still see me go again. My older ones seen it, but you know, my little ones actually get to see Dad out there playing, and it's just amazing.
Perfect stuff, man. Yeah. All right, so Ricky Davis, he'll be playing with Marcus Banks, and your player coach is Mike Bibby, the former Sacramento King. So how's that with Mike?
I love it. Mike's a great player. He's a great playmaker. And he's a great guy to play for. Yeah.
It's kind of like being on tour, isn't it?
It is. It's just like touring and hanging out with the guys.
All guys pretty much around our age, right?
Guys our age and, you know, guys, mature guys, and, you know, no crazy stuff going on. Right. So it's pretty smooth.
But the quality of ball is great, though. And that's the thing, because you could, you know, take this, and other people have tried to do other leagues with legend guys, and it never works out. But again, you know, guys that are 35, 37, 38 years old, you guys obviously can still play. There's very few guys that are really out of shape. There's a couple guys. We'll name names, but guys like you and Marcus and these guys, you guys look solid, man.
These guys still can play. Yeah. And, you know, he can play this game for a long time, as you see Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Right.
He's 48, and he's moving great. Kendall Gill.
Yeah, I'm sure he can still shoot it, too.
Oh, yeah. He lights out. And those guys are moving great, so it's just a challenge for me being 37 and just sticking there for 10 years, playing half-court ball. Right. It's amazing.
All right.
Yeah.
Ricky Davis, I appreciate you taking the time and joining us. We got to have you back on, man.
Oh, definitely.
We got to do it again. Yes. All right.
Yeah, I'm only a year younger, so if you want to hang out, you know, call up your NBA homies. I'll be hanging out with all the NBA.
Yeah, but once he sees you handle a ball, you're out.
Oh, we don't have to play basketball. No, I know, about hanging out.
But you have to have, you know, you got to have a little game. To hang with Ricky Davis, you have to have a little game.
I have game.
You got
just not on the court.
Exactly. Right.
Ghost.
Exactly. All right, man. Ricky, thanks for a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
Okay,
for
Ricky Davis, 12-year NBA veteran. You can see him play Saturday at the MGM Grand, part of the Big 3 Championship.